Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. I'm glad to be able to meet with you again on another Sunday morning, another day that we have set aside that we can praise and worship the Lord together. Having said that, let us go right into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for watching over us as we slept through the night, Lord, and for waking us up this day and allowing us to go through with this day, Heavenly Father. First of all, just taking the time out to praise and to worship you and looking to you, Heavenly Father, to give us a word, Lord, from your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless us, that we'd be able to receive the word coming from you this day, Father, that you would grant us the wisdom and understanding to be able to rightly divide your word. I pray, Father, that you will bless it, that even the words that you would come forth, that you would have to come forth from me, Heavenly Father, would be those words that you have anointed, Father. Knowing, yes, Satan may be the prince of the power of the air, Lord, but you are Lord of all. And we know, Lord, that if your word goes forth, it will not return to you void. It will go to those that you would have it to go to do that which you would have it to do. And that is our prayer right now, Heavenly Father, that you allow me to just be used, Lord, an instrument used in your hand to do that which you would have done, that your word may go forth, Heavenly Father, void of my pride and my ego and my vanity. But Lord, praying as always that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you'll be glorified through your word. This I do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Beloved, we're going to go right into our message today. And we're going to be coming to you from the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter. Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter. And our text, yes, may be coming from the 30th and the 31st verses, but we're going to be reading the 28th through the 34th verses in your hearing. Through the 34th verses. For the benefit of those of you who may not have your Bibles with you or may not be able to get to them at the moment, we're going to read that for you. We're also going to be coming to you from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 10th chapter, the 29th through the 37th verses. An old minister, a friend of mine, used to say, it's not a lot of verses, but this is what he used to call gugobs of scripture. I'm going to read it in your hearing from the New International Version. Let's hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more than important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. That's Mark, the 12th chapter, the 28th through the 34th verses. From the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, starting at the 29th verse, you'll find these words written in the New International Version. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil, excuse me, and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert on the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." We have read the Gospel from St. Luke, the 10th chapter, the 29th through the 37 verses. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. May it sanctify the truth deep down in our hearts. This is going right into the word. Somewhere along the line, many of us forgot that love is an action word. Oh yeah. When someone asks who, what, where, when, why, or how about love, some type of expression of that love is required. I mean, I can't ask you who loves you, who do I love, where do we love, how do it all requires something. It requires something. And I want to say this here. When the Bible teaches and shows us how we are to express love to a person, it is not simply a sexual form of expression. Oh, yeah. Now, why do I just jump right into that and say that? Because the world has painted such a picture in the minds of our society and our cultures to the point that we don't even realize how we equate sex with love. It's to the point it is so ingrained in us that yes, even many believers, we don't even realize what we're saying half the time when we talk about love. Yeah, we're making love. Love. Everywhere and all the time that we express it, it is equated with sex. It's shown on the television, in the movies, in the music, in arts and books, everywhere you look, they equate sex with love. We feel as though that when someone says, "I love you," you automatically have to start engaging in a sexual relationship. You say, "Well, we're dating." Okay, we were engaged. We engaged to be married. And since we're doing that, that okays us to go ahead and engage in sexual activity because we love each other. Yes, we're going to be married, but you're not married yet. And that's the only The only way that Lord allows us to engage in sexual activities when we're married. That is the way the world has it. And see, let me tell you how shrewd and how deceptive and powerful the devil has implanted this in the minds of men. See, the main reason why he equates sex with love is not just because, okay, all right, children, you can have permission to engage in sexual activity, but watch this. Watch this. If sex and love, if I can get people to think about them equally, this is what the devil has put it in the minds of men. Then whenever someone says, well, I love this person, and if the law says you're of age, I'm not talking about somebody 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, you say, well, they don't even know what love is yet. So that's going out the window. But if that person is of age where they're supposed to be considered adults and you can be treating them as adult, and they say that they love each other, then we'll get to the point where society will accept their expression of love if it's done sexually. You say, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. Yes, you do. Look at the commercials, look at the TV shows, the cartoons, these things that are supposed to be designed for children to watch. Look at what they're showing. Look at how they're showing them. Oh, we love each other, so yeah, it's all right for us to kiss and hug and do things similar to what adults do. I didn't say married folks, but I said that on purpose, but what adults do. Some of you are saying right now, man, this got by me. I didn't realize this. This is what's going on even with our children. We bring them up, yes, it's okay to start dating. Where? When? Where's the manual? Where is the in the scripture that said this is the first way to raise up our children? I thought the scripture said for you to train up a child in the way they should go. How should they? What is the way they should go? The way the Bible teaches. Oh, you want to have friends, buddies, things like that. Yes, if you're governing that. There's no such thing as my daughter, my son going out. Oh, they're going out on a date. 15 years of age, 14 years of age, whatever. And you think that they are going to govern themselves in adult, I mean, in a responsible fashion because you say so. Let me say something to you, beloved. And this is for free. In your eyesight, in front of you, your children are probably angels. They're going to say the right thing. They're going to act the right way in your sight. Some of you seem to forget how you were when you were young. You forget what the scripture says. When you were a child, you think as a child, you spoke as a child, you act like the child. You forget that there's foolishness bound up in the mind of a child. You think your child is an exception. You weren't an exception. What makes you think your child's going to be? Some of us seem to forget what our children are facing every day. You need to understand something, especially if you have school-age children. Do you have any idea all of the different forces they are up against every day in their school? Do you realize with the many different children that are in that school, how many even how many different demonic things can be coming at them every day? all day long, all the hours while they're in school. They're being attacked, they're being tempted, they're being tried in so many different ways by so many different people from so many different directions, and not just their peers, not just other students. Yes, there are some teachers in there that aren't correct. Teachers, administrators, all of this every day. We see the influence of the world every day, how it is affecting our children in their like again, in their TV shows, in their music, in the games that they're playing. Do y'all think that Satan is letting any of these different forms of entertainment and influences get by without him having his hand in there? Do you think he has stopped going up and down, to and fro, in all the earth, seeking who he can devour? Come on, this is what he does. So we see this deceptive, powerful plan he has with love. If your son and the boy down the street seem that they're in love, they tell you that they love each other. Well, if it's love, God is love, so love must be okay. Even if it happens to be between them two boys or two girls, long as it's love, it's okay, because we have equated love and sex together. And some of us right now, we're saying, oh my God, I let that get by me. Now that I think about it, yes. In the toys and everything, we see the sexual overtones in all of this stuff. And we see where the devil is trying to put everything under the heading of love. If it's love, it's okay. He said, well, I don't really know how I'm supposed to express love and show love. I mean, outside of marriage, you try to tell me there's no other way to show and express love? Let's examine our scripture for today as we talk to you about a very simple subject. Showing love. Showing love. Now, in all that I've read for you today, I'm going to point out seven things. Okay, seven things in particular. Okay, and when I get done those seven things, I'm going to be finished. Okay, now, first off, in the Gospel of Mark, I want you to realize. First, a few things before I go into the seven, which is basically going to be coming out of Luke. Okay, I want you to understand a few things that are important. Okay, one, in our text, he says in the 29th, excuse me, in the 30th and the 31st verses, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Now you said, okay, the commandment here, the great commandment here is love. But I want you to notice the three things here that are very important right here. One, love the Lord your God with every part of your being. Every part of your being, your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, mind, body, and spirit. Love the Lord with it all. The Lord your God with all of it, every fiber of your being. You said, okay, I got that. I got it. And then he says, but love your neighbor. He said, oh, love your neighbor, the same love. Love my neighbor, But then he says also, as yourself, which means you should be loving yourself. He says, okay, I got that. But I'm still not sure on how this love is to be expressed. If only I had some kind of map, something to go by. And that's when somebody asked him. They didn't ask him. Now watch what they asked Jesus. Didn't ask him, what kind of love you talking about, or how should this love be expressed, and how should this love be shown? They asked him, who is my neighbor? He said, love your neighbor as yourself. See, it has been ingrained in many of us that, okay, we're looking for who our neighbor is. But Jesus flipped the script. I want you to watch what he does in this text as we get ready to go into Luke. I want you to watch how he goes this. We've often been saying, okay, who is our neighbor? Like we ask the same question, who is my neighbor? Remember that, what he asked. Remember that. Okay, now, the thing is, now I'm supposed to be showing this love to my neighbor. I'm supposed to be showing love to this person. See the church, a lot of people in the church get things twisted. Okay, we need to be shown. Let me show this person some love. Let me show we. These are phrases that we use today that starts out somewhere in the world. I don't know where it started at. Okay, but we use these. Say, I'm gonna show some love to them, and I don't know if anybody ever asked themselves, how do you do that? How was that done? What are you doing to show this love? But let's go ahead on, because remember how so many of us still got that overtone, that love and sex run hand in hand. They're synonymous. So a lot of us, whenever we start thinking about showing love, boom, something sexual comes up in the picture. Because that's what we have, has been ingrained in us for many years, decades, hundreds of years. It's been ingrained in us. Some of us, I can't help it. That's just the way it is. But let's look into the passage. Now, when they asked him, who is my neighbor? Look at how Jesus replied. Some of you have heard this story, have heard this read in the scripture, have preached it, taught it. I've heard it many times, multiple times, about the Good Samaritan. Okay? And I'm going to point out some things about him. Okay? Like I said, I'm going to point out seven things that this neighbor did for this stranger. Got it? I hope y'all listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying it on purpose. Okay? Seven things. Okay? First off, okay, yes. This man had been beaten. Okay, he was going his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and this very dangerous area. Okay, and it just so happens that he was attacked by robbers. They beat him half dead, beat him down, stripped him of his clothes. You know, if he had on some good Nikes or whatever, maybe Nike sandals or whatever they was, some Jordans or whatever he was wearing, they beat him down, took him, okay, left him half dead. While he's laying out there, okay, a priest. Many believe this is a Roman Catholic, priest, okay. He's representing the Roman Catholic Church. A lot of people tend to believe that. He looked at the man. Oh, he went on buying. I mean, I got to be going about my business. I guess he was saying, I'm minding my business. I don't want to get involved. So he passed on the other side. Later, a Levite. Some say this is maybe some rabbi from the Jewish community. He looked. Oh. Yeah. He too passed on the other side. But this Samaritan came by. Now, let's pause here for a second and try to put this in perspective. If we were just here in the United States years back, we would have simply said it was a white guy that got beaten down, and there's a black guy coming around and saw this and saw the man beaten. Or we might have flipped the script, said it was a black man that was beaten down, and a white guy came around. But in this day and time, with the diverse cultures we have in our societies, it could have been any different culture, two different cultures coming this meeting right here. Not just Jew and Samaritan. It could have been Oriental and Samaritan. It could have been Russian and Chinese. We don't know what it was in this day and time. We have such a diverse amount of cultures in our societies. But nevertheless, let's just leave it like they were people, two different cultures meeting here. One was in dire need. Dire need, physical need, obvious physical need, beaten down, bloody. And a person coming by didn't say he was a doctor, but maybe it obviously the man, some of the things that the man needed done, this person was able to do. How do we know that? Let's look a little bit further. One, he took pity on the man. This Samaritan, okay, saw that this man was beaten and left for dead. He felt pity for the man. And watch what the scripture says. He took pity. He took pity. He did something. He did something. He didn't just say he felt compassion for the man and commenced to just praying, Lord, help him. Didn't say, oh, I wish somebody would do something. He did what he could do. How do we know that? Let's go a little bit further. It says, unlike the two spoken of who passed by on the other side of him, he went to him. He went to him. He went over to see if there was anything he can do. Why? Because he had pity. He had compassion on this man. So he went to see if there was something he could do. Now, let me pause here another second. How many times have we looked at people and saw a need? And you said, I felt compassion in my heart for that person. But what did you do about it? What did you do? Were you able to go over to see about this person? And if you were, did you go? He said, well, yeah, I went. And when you went, did you see that there was something you could do? Or did you simply leave it for the next person? Let's see what this man did. He felt pity for the man, went over to see about what is the extent of this man's injuries. It says he bandaged his wound. Okay, right then and there, he saw the man had wounds, obvious wounds. So he began to minister to the man. How many times have we seen people? And he said, okay, I felt pity and I felt moved to go say something to that person. And you do. And they begin to tell you what the situation is. Maybe no, maybe it's not a physical thing where they got obvious physical wounds. But they begin to tell you about maybe the mental wounds that they had, the spiritual wounds that they had. Okay. And you listen to them. Some of the feelings, or once I listened to them, I said, okay, well, here, go in peace, go get, maybe offer them to get, to get something to eat or something to drink. If that was their need, you're doing good. But if that person is telling you about how they're being physically abused or mentally abused, that's not their immediate need. Something to eat. They may say, yeah, well, It's later in the day. I hadn't eaten since early this morning. That is true, but that's not the immediate need. That is not what they confronted you with. That is not what they talked to you about. Let's first look at the immediate need. You say, well, if the person is, they need something to eat, what we're going to eat while we talk and deal with what the immediate need is, if that's all part of your ministering method, got no problem with that. But don't forget what the immediate need is that needs to be dealt with. So, yeah, he bandaged the man's wounds. The man, obviously, maybe he's bleeding. Maybe he got cuts, scrapes, I don't know. But this man took out some bandages, okay, to bandage his wounds. And once he bandaged them, got them wrapped up, okay, he began to pour oil and wine or vinegar or whatever he used over these wounds to try to get rid of any bacteria or dirt so the man doesn't get infection. Okay, so he's ministering to this person's immediate need. Now, he would have been okay. We would have still sung his praises. Is after he ministered to this man's immediate needs, bandaged him up. He said, okay, I've gone pretty far with this man. And we would sing his praises. But he went a little bit further than that. Remember, this man was on a journey of his own. I don't know what he was going to do. He was going somewhere. He wasn't just riding around waiting, looking around to see who could, who he could find that was all beat up and take care of him. No, he was on his way to handle his business. But this man, he said, I can't leave him out here on the road like this. He's not in good shape. Can't leave him here like this. Let me take and put him on my donkey. Okay. We put him on my donkey, my transportation. Let me become the ambulance for this man. So he put the man on his donkey. And while he's walking, he had the man on his donkey until they arrived at the motel. And an inn back then, he took him there. Okay. And when he took him there, the next thing he did, okay, is he took care of him. He didn't just take him in, drop him off, and hey, I'm going to my room, and no, he went, he took care of him, took him to his room, and took care of him. Continued to minister to him. I guess maybe, as he went on, the bandages needed to be changed and he needed to be rewashed and everything. He did what he needed to do or could do for the man. And they did this and they slept through the night. The scripture says the next day, he took out some money, gave it to the innkeeper, and said, listen, you look after him. Look after him. Okay. Now, when I come back this way, all right, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have to spend. Anything else he needs to have done, and this money runs out. Okay. I'll take care of the rest of it when I get back. Seems to me that obviously the man at the inn probably knew him. Perhaps he traveled and stopped at that inn from time to time. And the man knew who he was. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but he trusted him. Okay, they seemed like they trusted each other. He trusted the innkeeper not to jack up a price. Oh, yeah, I had to spend a lot more money to take care of this guy. And no, it seems to me like there was some type of relationship there. But even if it wasn't, the thing that we need to understand is this man is doing all of this for a stranger who's of a different culture than he is. This is what he's doing. Okay. And that's what he's going, and he set out to go to continue on his journey. I don't know. I don't know what his journey was. It's not important. But we need to understand something, that even though this man had somewhere to go, he had a journey he was already embarking on, he stopped. I guess, I don't know if this was his normal stop at that inn. He would stay there overnight before he would continue on his journey. But he didn't have to stop what he was doing to take care of somebody in need. Maybe he had to pause a day, maybe he stayed an extra day than he usually did. I don't know. But I know that he saw someone in need, and he showed the love, the compassion, the pity on this person. And he showed it by what he did. He met this person at their point of need. He met them at their point of need. We see people, I'm saying this and I'm about finished. We meet people who have different needs. And yes, our intentions a lot of time are good, to try to help that person. But so many times we're trying to help them by what we want them to have, what we want them to do, what we want them to have, because we feel as though they need to be ministered that way. And a lot of times we don't meet their immediate need. What if he had gotten this man and got him on his donkey and got him to the inn and say, "Hey, listen, I seen this guy on the road. He probably could use something to eat." And that might be well and true, but that's not the immediate need. This man got bruises. That could get worse. That can get infected. That can cause him other issues. The immediate needs attend to these bruises, and he did. A lot of times we meet people and we say, "Okay, this person, is a thief. This person is a drug addict. This person is a homosexual. This person is lesbian. This person is going by the title of trans now," and this, that, and the other. And we say we want to go ahead and we want to look at that, but that is not the immediate need. The immediate need is they need to be born again. They need to be saved. Let me tell you something, beloved. Let me tell you something. Okay. We often talk about, yes, we want to show somebody love. Is that person you're showing love to, are they saved? You want to be a neighbor to that person. See, the Lord didn't say we have to go around and look for a neighbor. He said, look what he tells that person. He says, go and do likewise. In the King James, it says, who was neighbor to this man? Matter of fact, it even says so in NIV. He said, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell? Not that he was their neighbor in need. Who are you a neighbor to? Who is it that you are helping? Who is it that you are seeing needs something from you that you could supply to help them? He said, okay, oh, who is the day? You go and do likewise. You go out and you see somebody at their need and see if you can help their immediate need. You go out and see somebody that can be helped by what you are able to do for them. This man, yes, this man that was beaten down, he wasn't completely healed when the man left him. But the man took him as far as he could for that time. You see, we tend to forget. We tend to forget that the word tells us that one plants, another one waters. But it is the Lord God who yields the increase. A lot of times we forget that it may be our job at that particular time to plant the seed. Look at what this man did, what a seed he planted. He tended to his immediate need, make sure he's in a place where he could be taken care of. And he had to go ahead and do what he had to do, but he was on his way back. And even when he had to leave the man, he left someone there to take care of him. Now he doesn't know what that innkeeper is going to do at that point. The innkeeper say, "Okay, you planted this seed. You started this work for this stranger. Let me take it a little bit further. Yes, I'll be the one that makes sure he gets fed. I'll continue to change his bandage. And when he gets a little bit strengthened, I'll talk with him and see what it is that I could do." Okay, he was beaten up and robbed. Maybe he was on a way to a journey. I don't know. I'll go a little bit further. I'll water that which you have planted. You see, beloved, that we all have a job to do. Some will be the ones who plant, some will be the ones who water. We don't know. You do what you can do. The key thing is you see somebody in need. You meet them at their need. I don't see where this Good Samaritan asked him, "Oh yeah, what is your political affiliation? Are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you gay? Are you straight? Are you saved? Are you unsaved?" He didn't actually, I don't see any of these questions posed to this man. He saw the man had a need. And he set out to do what he can to meet this man's immediate need. Oh, yes. Maybe you are a drug addict. Maybe you are an alcoholic. Maybe you are a thief. Maybe you are a murderer. Maybe you're one that goes out and abuses people. Maybe you are homosexual, lesbian. I don't know. But I know one thing, that as you come to me and told me and shared with me about your issue, let me share something with you. You see, if you meet Jesus, if Jesus becomes your savior, if you are willing to love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your body, all of your strength, I'm here to tell you that he will meet your need right there where you are. You don't have to wait until you get a new suit of clothes. You don't even have to wait until you get on some clean clothes. You don't have to wait until you come up out of the gutter. You don't have to wait until you start doing better. He will meet you right here where you are, and he will meet your need. Because I said so? No. Because you say so? No. Because he said he would. He said, "I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory." And I'm here to let you know, he said he could open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. We won't even have room to receive it. His blessings are vast. He'll meet your needs. He can supply your needs. If you, in your heart, allow Jesus to become your Savior, he'll show you such a love that you've never experienced. Show you a love that you have never, ever had shown to you before. Just like this Samaritan took care of a stranger, somebody he'd never met, somebody from a different culture than him, somebody of a different race than he is. Didn't stop him from meeting that person's need. I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're going, where you've been. You turn to Jesus. You turn to Jesus and desire in your heart for him to be your Lord and your Savior, I'm here to tell you that he'll meet your need. Because he'll show you a love that you never experienced. A greater love than no man has than this, that he would give his own life. That's what Jesus did. He came here and gave his life for you. And all you have to do is believe that he did it and receive him as your Savior, as your Lord. That's all. Believe. I'm here to tell you, he'll show you a love. Oh, yes, he will. Love you've never experienced. My sisters and my brothers, I'm going to say this to you, and I'm going to be finished. We need to show love. When that prince said, yeah, I'm going to show them some love, you have nothing else greater than you can show them than the way to Jesus. No, you don't be embarrassed. You don't have to say, well, I don't know how. No. If you want to show them love, how in the world can you allow somebody that you want to show love to, somebody that you care about, and not introduce them to your Lord and Savior? They think their love should be shown one way, but you know that when this busy walk of life is over, and we continue our eternity on the other side, you know that there is another side. You know that there is an eternity. You know that the soul is going to live forever, and it's only going to be in one of two places, heaven or hell. You don't have to sugarcoat it. You need to tell it like it is. And tell them, listen, because I have love for you, because I want us to be together for eternity, because I do not want you to go through all of life's disappointments, all of life's ups and downs, all of life's frustrations, all of life's heartaches and heartbreaks, and then turn around and have to go to hell too. No, it doesn't have to be that way. Because I have love for you, I got to show you that there's no greater love. There's no greater love, no greater expression of love than what Jesus did for you. And what he did for you was to give his life, make his life a ransom for you. Paid for your sin and mine. Because that's the only way we can get from earth to glory. And then we can spend eternity with him and our Father in heaven. That's the only way it could have happened. That's the greatest love I got for you. Yes, I can give you a few dollars out of my pocket. I can take you to go get something to eat. But that's not going to get you from earth to glory, because one day you're going to leave here. And your soul is going to have to spend eternity. And I know that I'm going on my way to glory. And I sure would love for us to be there together. Showing love. It's not just. No, about sex. I said not just about, I'm going to say this here and I'm going to leave that alone. Sex is not bad. No. If it's done the way the Lord said so, between husband and wife, male, female. You want to know more about that? We'll talk about that later. I'm not going to go any deeper than that. I'm just saying it like it is. Marriage is honorable. That's why the bed is undefiled. That's why the sexual activity and the bed is undefiled because it's done in the bonds of marriage. God bless you, my sisters and my brothers. We talk about showing love today. All I'm saying to you who know the Lord is your personal Savior, you who have been born again, let us show somebody some love by introducing them to our Lord and Savior, who can take them from earth to glory. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you for giving us the wisdom and understanding to rightly divide your word. And Lord, as we continue even through this day, we pray that you allow us to continue living and walking in your spirit, governing ourselves in such a manner that those who see us, hear us, be around us, be able to see you through us, that you may get the glory out of our life living. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, my sisters and my brothers.